may be pleased to help me to continue, friends, and correct you again to Isaiah 42, verse 16. And I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them, and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them, and not forsake them. The promises of God, my friends, are yea and amen in Christ. Never can be overthrown. And this word before us has running through it the will of God, the eternal purpose of God, it is toward his people. The great matter continually is, do I belong? Tis a point I long to know, am I his or am I not? Is that an exercise with you? A great mercy to be concerned. For again, my friends, at the opening of another discourse, there must be set before you the warning, the wicked shall be turned into hell. And again, my friends, you may not like to hear it. Perhaps in your heart you say, ah, but there are many blessings in the word. We don't want to keep on being told of this great solemn truth. But my friends, the word of God again declares, two parts shall be cut off. Heard it often, haven't you? How many times have you rubbed it off? Don't want to hear it. Solemn to hear those words, depart from me, I never knew you. So come, my friends, if we be not right in Christ, if that word of the poet is not true in our experience this side of death, he made my standing more secure than 'twas before I fell, lost forever. Solemn things, are they? Do you really feel it? It is a mercy then to be concerned. You and I must die. The appointed time is in the hands of a sovereign God. It will come. Mercy to be right. And there are evidences of it in time, friends. So I say again to you tonight, there is something to be sought after, and it is that blessed assurance. It is to be able to say with Job of old, I know that my Redeemer liveth. Blessed character. Has this assurance in his soul. The evidence is found in the experience of our text in our lives. I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. Now if we were to stop there, my friends, we'd come short. If it were simply to walk in strange paths, to be blind concerning the outcome of those paths, we'd come short. But the Lord says, I will make darkness light before them, and crooked things straight. Then there's something to be found. Your pathway, poor sinner, a stranger. Is Jesus in it? There's the great matter. How much religion there is today, friends, we without Christ in it. We've only come very close. A year or two ago, I sat in a little chapel. I had a free afternoon. I heard a man preach. This isn't criticism, friends. Something I feel deeply in my heart about the necessity to know Christ. And I sat and listened to that man. I'd never seen him before. I didn't know who he was. And afterwards, because I was known in that chapel, the deacon said to me, "You'll speak to Mr. So-and-so, won't you?" And I had any desire to. I didn't get on with him. But the deacon was persistent. He intimated he'd be hurt if one of the Lord's servants in the house didn't speak to him. So I was taken to speak to him. I said to that man in the course of a few minutes conversation, "You didn't preach Christ." That poor man said to me, "You can't always preach Christ." I asked him what else there was to preach. He didn't get any answer for him. I left him. If there's no Christ in your religion, there'll be no heaven. And it's not going to be a theoretical one either. It's got to be a living Christ in experience. It's found by the Spirit of God revealing him. And it ever will be so in the experience of the people of God. Remain darkness like before and crooked things straight. How can we open it up? Why, you call it a poor sinner's heart to seek Jesus. What do you say? This precious man is precious to sinners. For the Word of God declares it. Oh, one says yes. The Word of God declares it. I believe the Word of God. But how do you believe it? For the Word of God, I set before you, friends, is very deep. It is the Word of the Apostle who says, "To you, therefore, which believe, he is precious." Can't get round that, can you, sinner? For it's very, very clear, 'tis those that believe. And their belief comes not by man's ability to do it, but by the teaching of the Eternal Spirit. Brings such a one into an experience of this. None but Jesus, none but Jesus can do helpless sinners good. Know anything of him? It is this precious man, the eternal Son of God, made flesh to dwell among men, who now is in the highest heavens at the right hand of the Father, that great high priest, full of compassion for poor, helpless worms of the earth. He makes darkness light before and crooked things straight, for he breathes into their hearts love. Yes, love, my friends. Not that love that's common in man that sometimes turns to hate. Not that love that is changeable often in man, but that love so brave, fixed on his own eternally. That love that passes all understanding, that brings a poor wretched worm of the earth into such language as this, in truth. Why me, oh blessed God, why such a wretched me? must forever lie in hell with not salvation free. It's love that does that sin. It's love that brings the worm of the earth to the footstool of mercy. It's that love that humbles him before his God, causes him to say, unworthy, unclean, wretched, among us, but, oh, thou dear Redeemer, thou knowest I love thee. Do you know anything of it, sinner? The love of Christ shed in a poor sinner's soul set him on the mountain top. It'll make his crooked things straight. And bring daylight into his darkness. It will enable him to say, Father, thy will be done. Where are you, sinner? And this word before us is open, fully opened in our chapter of this morning, the latter part of it, which we didn't touch. Hammering her trouble in the chapter. Hammer, where she laid her case before the Lord and was misjudged by the priest, and the Lord considered to be drunken. Her case was so deep she couldn't set it forth in words. Her lips moved, but there was no words. There were no words come forth. And Eli marked her mouth. But the Lord marked her prayer. He made her crooked places straight. He satisfied her desire. He gave her a sandal. Do you know anything of this sin? You've got to prove it. Hannah was able to. And so will you. And we look at it for a moment or two and see if we know anything about the experience of her language. A wonder-working God who opens the mouth and the heart of his children when he works great and mighty things for them. When he makes darkness light and crooked places straight, Hannah says, there is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee. Neither is there any rock like our God. Have you mercy? Ah, it's good to come to such a place and say, this God is my God. He only does great and mighty things. He is able to save to the utmost, for he's opened many doors for me. He's made the way for me again and again. This God is the living God. Does it matter, says language? It does, my friends, because it exalts him who is worthy to be praised. King Jesus, it sets him on high. That living Jesus who stands in the breach and again makes peace with the Holy God. Hannah says, they that were full of hired out themselves for bread, and they that were hungry ceased, so that the barren were born seven, and she that hath many children is waxed feeble. One thing set against another in the hands of the eternal God, able to deal with all men under all circumstances. Almighty God, the Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and lifteth up. Is this God your God, sinner? You who got a strange pathway, you oft times feel blind in that pathway, wondering where the sin will end. Can't add it up at all. Sometimes crying out all these things are against me. This God is the living God. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust, lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill, to set them among princes, and to make them inherit the throne of glory. Such an one, called by free sovereign grace, the pathway can understand that he's in the hands of his God. Purposes of his God are eternal toward him, to bring him into this place, to set him among princes, the princes of his own people, to make him inherit the throne of glory, ultimately to be found with Christ, swallowed up in everlasting love. Such an one never perish. Is it good? Our word says, again, my friends, I will make darkness light before them, and crooked things straight. Maybe somebody here tonight has got a crook in their life they've had for many a long day. Has it made you pray? It's done you good then. Does it make you groan from time to time? It's done you good. Why? Because thou hast a God who knows the outcome of it all. And he's brought you into this place to make you lean upon himself. He's going to prove to you that he's able to deliver. Why should he do this? He's going to answer the language that we found in our reading tonight in the 40th chapter of Isaiah. Well, the children of God from time to time find themselves in such a condition. They're blind in the way the Lord hath appointed for them. They write bitter things against themselves. They hearken to the adversary who taunts them in the way. They come into this place. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my car. This is coming to. It's probably one of you here tonight in such a condition. And the language interpreted that we shall understand it easily is, the Lord's forgotten me. He's left me to myself. I'm in a wretched, helpless condition. I don't know which way to turn. No man cares for my soul. There's no deliverance anywhere. The Lord is going to bring you into a place where thou shalt prove he is the living God, the Lord God omnipotent. He's going to bring you into a place where thou will be able to say to man and devil, this God is my God. The outcome, honor and glory and praise to the name of Jesus. How little it's spoken, my friends. This precious name which Peter speaks, the only name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, that precious name of Jesus, the eternal Son of God, co-equal, co-eternal with the Father and the Spirit, that precious man still, the glorious head of his church. This dear man again and again shall be glorified in the hearts of his people. It shall be brought home to them again and again what he's done for them in the time state is for the glory of King Jesus. and open the mouths of their hearts to setting on high. Dear loving sinner, what a favour it is to be able to list his name. For that precious name opens every door, the very portals of heaven. That lovely name, Jesus, all my salvation. Lord God, in this 40th chapter, sets it forth so clearly. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Tis Jesus, that precious man who lived and died and rose again. He who groaned in Gethsemane's garden, those deep groanings that came out of his heart, that caused that precious blood to come out of his pores, the extremity of his petition to his Father, on your behalf. For the joy that was set before you, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now set down at the right hand of the throne of God. This precious man brought forth for his people everlasting peace. This dear man hath brought forth a certainty. The faithfulness of God will be opened up to you. Darkness turned into light. Your crooked places made straight. For Jesus lives. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the child of God again and again says, oh, could I but believe. One of our poets so sweetly says of this poor man's enter into the extremity of knowledge of it. Blind unbelief is sure to err and stand with his work in vain. God interpreter, and he will make it plain. Look at all we talk to. It's many, many years ago now, in the darkness of soul trouble, groaned again and again unto the Lord, undertaker I perish. In the middle of the night, in the darkness of the night, Lord came in those very words. I know there is a difference of opinion. Many say, some do, Lord doesn't speak in an audible voice. I heard him. But this great God in the middle of the night shook the bed on which I lay. And I saw those words as well as heard them. Blind unbelief is sure to err and stem his work in vain. Then as though the very heavens thundered, this great and mighty God repeated it again. Blind unbelief is sure to err and stand his work in vain. God is his own interpreter, and he will make it plain. And his light shall renew in the darkness brings. I can remember the morning when I got out of bed in perfect peace. I can remember, will never forget, while memory lasts, peace. my sins have gone. I felt as light as my Jesus had done all things well. In the darkness light, crooked things straight, no case too hard for him. Never is anything too hard for the Lord. Know what the trouble is, I'll tell you, I walked it out many times. It's lack of faith, poor sinner. You don't look to Jesus. You look first of all to see where you can find some other help. Look to see whether you've got anything in your hand you can use. The Lord ultimately will bring you, if you belong to him, that place of Hezekiah. You have to turn your face toward the wall. Give everything else up. It will have to be, Lord, help me here. Thou knowest the way that I take. Lord, help me here. Crooked shall be made straight. Darkness will flee in every time. You shine that precious light that is in Christ. Is there a sin here? Not a question that sinner here knows he's a sinner. One in this little company who's cried day and night unto the Lord, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. This word before us, friends, will never be overthrown. You'll make darkness light before them, and crooked things straight. Why? Because he's underlined his word. You know, don't you, how men oft times write from a piece of paper something they're going to do, and then they underline it. Tis to emphasize. This great and mighty God, a God of infinite condescension, speaks to his people, these things will I do unto them, and not forsake. If ever man speaks like this and perform it, as this God can, he never did make a promise and failed in that promise. Well, this poor man who tries to speak to you tonight, before I came into the ministry, the Lord made me in someone's heart. Then that man communicated with me, and I was full of fear. And I shall never forget the day I received a letter from that man suggesting that perhaps the Lord was going to put me in the ministry. I left my home in a dreadful state. I had, first of all, in my little kitchen at home, fallen on the floor, crying out, God help me! God help me! God help me! I felt I'd go out of my mind. This great and mighty God, as I wandered the streets of London in this dreadful, distressing state, said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. I shall never be able to say he's unfaithful, friends. The word of tonight will be fulfilled to the letter in the experience of every one comes within this world. This great and mighty God knows the end from his people take. He has made preparation for every difficulty that they shall enter into. My friends, this God will never forsake you for Jesus' sake. Oh, you say, but my trouble is too great, I can't go on. David had made up his mind that one day he should fall under the hand of Saul. He said there was but one step twixt him and death. David was born to be king. The children of God are born to endure to the end and be saved. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. We carry through for sin. Your case is so hard you can't endure. You may well be in the experience now of the psalmist who said, I'm as a sparrow alone upon the housetop, and no man cares for my soul. The Lord cares. He says, these things will I do unto them, and not forsake them. Behold, you are poor sinner, for his name is in it. Some of you may have heard me say this before. My dear mother was exercised with regard to me going into the ministry for 7 long years. During that time, I turned out of the way. I ceased to go to chapel. Everything seemed to be against me. The Lord gave her faith to believe. And why? I'll tell you why. It's what I've been trying to speak about all the evening, friends. For it's for Jesus' sake. My dear mother, love that dear name. Jesus, the friend of sinners. She told him that she couldn't exalt him. Couldn't lift him up before men because she was a woman, but she got a son who could. She pleaded with this God. And I know now 'twas under the power of the Eternal Spirit, for 'twas his eternal purpose it should be so. She pleaded with him to set me on the walls of Zion. That the precious Christ, under his power, should be exalted. My dear mother said to me in days after that, when she saw the hand of the Lord in it, proved. When he called me and set me on the walls of Zion, she said, my son, you'll never come to confusion. For his name is in it. Oh, these are glorious truths, friends. The hand of the Lord, if he be in your life, you endure to the end and be saved. He puts his hand into your trial, and never will be anything that will overcome you. Darkness light before you and crooked things straight for his own great name's sake. These things will I do for them, not forsake them, but they will form the foundation. It is because the dear Son of God came into this lower world to suffer, bleed and die. Came for sinners, came for those who were appointed to everlasting life, eternal felicity, came for those loved with an everlasting love. Not one of them can be lost. Came into this lower world to fulfill the law that only Lord God, satisfy in our divine line, every jot and tittle in his manhood. He perfectly fulfilled it. He came into this long world to endure the cross, to pay the penalty of sin, the curse of God against sin, laid upon his dear back. He brought in a full salvation, for he satisfied the law to the bitter end. This precious man rose again. By prophecy, 'tis recorded and must be satisfied. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. He travailed for you, poor sinner. You who walk this way, you who again and again know not how to continue, but under the power of his blessed Spirit, commit your way unto the Lord. It is how you continue. That is to be a glorious day. This dear Redeemer waits against that day when he shall gather together one glorious triumphant church in himself. Each one shall enter into his glory. Do you ever look forward to it? I'm going to tell you again, these things are not a myth. Oh, I know what it is to stand in the pulpit. I've done it in my early days, friends. Speak of things that one has not experienced. I know there are some things that I can speak of and be able to say, I've been there. Caught a glimpse of heaven one day. In the midst of deep trouble, rolling in myself, whatever shall I do? How shall I go on? This lovely Jesus opened the heaven to my eyes by faith. There was no word spoken. I felt a little of that peace that passeth all understanding, and I knew with a perfect assurance it would be well. The end of the journey would be with him whom my soul loved, King Jesus. Do you love him, sinner? There I shall see his face. It's nothing like him. This isn't just empty repetition of a man's words. Never, never sin. This precious man, lovely Jesus. There I shall see his face. Never, never sin. To be with this dear man, my Lord and my God, to be fashioned in his likeness, to be with him, swallowed up in the arms of everlasting love forever. No more sin, no more darkness, no more fears, no more going out, no more concerns in the dying world. Lovely Jesus, thou knowest I love thee. Can you come in? I will bring the blind right away that they knew not. Lead them in paths they have not known. 'Tis far better to be led by a kind and gracious God, though the way be rough, than taken by man through all the fancy places of this life. With all the pleasures that this world can give, they are but tinsel. They come to naught one day. But this dear Redeemer, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, he knows the ways people take. He knows the sorrows, and he's a good, great, compassionate high priest. He holds them up against that day when it should take them home to glory. Will you be there? We'll lead them in paths they have not known, nor make darkness light before them crooked through straight. These things will I do unto them, not forsake. Let's finish with a word of our friends. Can you speak like this? Why was I made to hear his voice and enter a wild room? Thousands make a wretched choice, would rather starve than come. Precious Jesus, 'tis because thou art my God, because thou hast made the way for me, because thou hast led me in the path of righteousness. Love me, Jesus. Be the person. One day,